Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. Got my brother, my guy, my B-roll guy, Sean Mobley, joining the show today, man. What's going on, man? How's everything?
Oh, man, some good, man. You know, just taking care of the family and just trying to take one day at a time, man. That's about it. How about yourself?
I definitely understand that, man. Same here, you know, got the little ones, man, that's in sports now. So doing that, being the sports dad now, so enjoying that whole thing, man. But all is good, man. All is good.
Great.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, like I said, man, I definitely appreciate you joining the show. You know, I know a lot of the fans, you know, your fans, man, would love to hear from you, man, see what you got going on, man. You know, be more guy, you know, was all first team ever since a freshman, right? Ever since a freshman in high school. So, I mean, going through that whole process, being from Baltimore, you know, you got Melo coming from Baltimore, you got Juan coming from Baltimore. What was that like, man, playing in that Baltimore County League? Because I know we played against, at DeMatha, man, we played against, you know, Towson. We know when Melo was down there, we played against Derek Snowden over at Spalding. So, you know, we had some games against those guys, man. You know, Neil, all those guys down in BMO, man. So what was it like playing in BMO, you know, in that high school basketball league, man?
Oh, man, it was a blessing, man. I think it helped me grow early in life. Obviously, you know, being raised and born here in Baltimore isn't the easiest thing, but different outlets as far as, you know, PAL centers, recreation, it allowed me to, you know, pursue what I wanted to do. And obviously, basketball was my go-to. And, you know, playing against different guys in high school and, you know, obviously playing, living up to a lot of, trying to live up to a lot of, you know, the San Cassells and the Carmelo Anthony that you name, just trying to make a path for myself. Right. And the name of that was just one thing I was always determined to do. And obviously, you know, basketball here in Baltimore is huge. And playing on that, you know, playing in the BCL and the MIA for Catholic League, I mean, you know how it is in DeMatha. Yeah. So guys played against Gonzaga. We played against them guys also. So having to play against, you know, the Malcolm Delaney's, the Dante Greens, and other guys that played within, you know, the Baltimore Catholic League and the MIA, I think it was probably the best basketball, if you look around, even my guy, DeJuan Summers, you know, it was huge. Right. So having that, going into my freshman year at St. Francis Academy, we didn't know what to expect. A lot of people, you know, because I had fractured my foot going into my freshman year. So having that, so a lot of people don't know that. But, you know, having to rehab and trying to get healthy. Obviously, you know, when you're much younger, you recover quicker. But, you know, as a freshman, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I was going to play as many minutes. But like I say, it's just determination and leadership that I always kind of carried with myself, you know, just putting them guys, I guess, pushing the guys, not vocally wise, but just leading by example. That was just always my MO.
Right. Now, I don't know if I'm trying to think, man, we played against St. Francis because we would always play against the Baltimore teams down in down in Cumberland. I forgot the name of the league, man.
I was talking about that, TJ, the other day.
We always play guys down in the that company, right? It's like a postseason, you know, after the season's done. It's like the last tournament of the season. Huh?
I said it's the best joint ever there.
Yeah, man. It was a lot. Like I said, man, when we played, like, my sophomore year down there, that's when I was playing varsity. That's when I went against. I tell people the story all the time. That's when I went against, you know, Melo. But people don't realize, man, Melo wasn't always that height. You know, Melo was small, man. He grew. He had that because I tell people all the time, bro, like, that story, man. Like, between our sophomore and junior year, Melo wasn't playing a lot. You know, he wasn't playing a lot, and we had, like, a quick conversation after the game. You know, he was kind of expressing how, you know, he wanted to play more. You know, he wanted to get more time. And then that summer, he was top 100, like, that his sophomore year. That summer, bro. That summer, he went from top 100, man, to top 5 within the summer, bro. Because he grew like he had that 6 inches, 6'8".
Yeah.
He just all I'm hearing, man. He was just tearing up the AAU circuit. Man. I'm talking like I said, man. He ended up being top 10 before the top 5, top 10, top 5 before the summer ended, man. So then our junior year, we played against each other again. Down there, man. He was just a different player, man, a different dude. And then obviously the sophomore year with Oak Hill, and that, I tell kids the story all the time in regards to that transition. Like, he wasn't always mellow. It was a 3-year time that he just turned to a different animal, but that was that determination, you know what I mean? That be more attitude, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the good thing. I mean, obviously he played in the same program, AU program, and I played in. He played at Mount Royal coming up. And, you know, just saying, I wasn't that much younger, but I was younger. But that's when I started, because I didn't start playing like under the whistle, like regulation basketball until I was like maybe 10, 11. Mm-hmm. I started late. I would hoop on, you know, outside with my homeboys, right, brothers and them. But I'm the youngest out of 5. So it was like, you know, everybody didn't want to pick me, but I used to get mad. I was like, that's
I don't even know.
I take the ball, you know what I mean? I take the ball. So, but that was my mentality, man. Like I say, and a lot of people, you know how people try to compare you, this person, that person. Mm-hmm. Nah, just making a way for yourself, man. That's why I tell my kids now that I train, you know, just make a way for yourself and don't worry about trying to play like Steph Curry or LeBron James. It's only one of them. That's it.
Exactly. Facts. And I tell the kids the same thing, man. Like, and they don't understand that the work that these dudes put in to become those players, they just see the finished product, and that's what you see on the end during the games, you know, Steph hitting those deep threes or crossing, man, like he works on those things, you know what I mean? Like he makes 500 to 1,000 shots, you know what I mean, a night. So that's what he does to get it down like that. But a lot of these kids, what I tell them, I say, look, ain't that easy. These guys put unlimited time in, just hours after hours. You know, I tell people all the time, like with like a KD, man, you know, watching him train, and seeing that process, where he trains, man, you would think he's trying to get into the league. You know, he's just hungry, man. I say, man, y'all don't. It's different, man. You know, LeBron putting $1 million in his body. You know what I mean? Come on, like, just think about these guys work. They really work. And these kids, you know, unfortunately, they don't understand that they want to be the finished product without putting the work in. So, you know, like man, what you're doing right now is huge. Now, throughout your high school year, man, you almost scored 3,000 points, bro. Yeah. Hey, 3,000. That's a lot of buckets, man. That's a lot of buckets, man. Like, what was your mindset? Because did you have those older guys coming to talk to you and give you, like, showing you the way, or kind of just in your ear, like, man, like, if you want to do X, Y, and Z, you got to do this, that, and the third?
Now, it's the determination factor, man. You know, trying to get out the hood. You know what I mean? That was right. The one thing for me, mentality. Obviously, like I say, I played with guys that I played. So it's so crazy. Like most of my guys, I played with 3 guys in my high school team that I played AU with since I was 10. Mm. Malcolm and Dante played on the same AU team with me also. Right. They went to Thousand Catholic. We went to St. Francis. So we already had chemistry. Guys already knew what I could do. Now you had, you know, you had the juniors and seniors. It's like, man, this freshman coming in, you know, doing whatever, blah, blah. Nobody didn't know who I was then. Right. You know, I was kind of a late bloomer, but not really. Right. But just coming in as a freshman, man, and just having that determination. Like I say, that's my one thing I always live by. You know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, yeah, open my gifts up, but I'm in the gym at St. Francis, you know.
Right.
It was just something that I just love. It's my escape goat, you know, when things are in a wrong direction, or, you know, you're going through things, I'm in a gym. So if I can be in a gym half of the day, I'm cool.
Right.
You know, here at Baltimore, we play every day. It's different now. So I say that was just me being just who I am. And people like, I don't say too much. I just let my, you know, I just let my game speak for itself.
Right. No, absolutely, man. Obviously, it paid off. So, now, you know, you was, you know, Gatorade player of the year for Baltimore. Like, so now I'm pretty sure you had a number of schools trying to get you to go there. What made you, first of all, what schools did you limit your list to, like your top 5? And then why did you end up choosing Maryland?
Like, I only took two visits. Literally. That was, I didn't feel like flying here, flying there. It was just, I mean, I was soaking in the enjoyment of it because, you know, a lot of people don't get this opportunity that we have as players. Right. As student athletes, I would say that. But Syracuse or Maryland, that was it, my top two. And I just, I mean, I love Bayham, you know, great guy. Obviously, he has, you know, a hell of a connection here with a lot of Baltimore guys here.
Right.
You know, having Carmelo, Dante Green, Mike Lloyds, and them guys that played here. But I took a visit there, man. They played game day. I'll never forget. It was my first time meeting Dick Vitale. Yeah. They played game day against Louisville. Packed. When I say packed, in a football stadium, I was like, bro, I gotta go for sure. I have to.
Right.
But it was just different. You know, having, you know, dorms not on campus, you know, you gotta drive. It just felt like separation. Whereas though Maryland felt like a family. And I've been going to Maryland games since I was in eighth grade, you know, when I was recruiting, you know. So I would always watch James Gibson and Mike Jones and them guys play. I don't think you were there when you probably was though, Travis. No, you were there. You were there. Yeah, you were there. Great them guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, coming up and watching you guys, and, you know, obviously when everybody used to watch the Maryland Duke rivals and, you know, with Jason Williams and them guys used to go at, I'm like, man, I love it. Like, it's just different. You know, obviously, the opportunity to come play pickup was a factor. I'm like, man, I know as a freshman, I could probably play. Big time minutes though as a freshman. I was like,
right,
who wants to be on the bench? You know, we work hard, so you got to put yourself in the best opportunity,
right?
And obviously, you know, having, you know, as a freshman at Maryland, you know, I played and I was just like I said, I just worked out, I worked hard, and I never lift weights in high school, so I was just naturally strong. Right. I'm a guy in college, man, you know how it is. We was talking about the other day, I was like, man, this is different, it's different for you, you know, you put your body through so much shock, but the recovery aspect of it was amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, we get ACC was different. It was different then. Mm-hmm. So having that, and that was different. That's why I was like, ACC, Duke, Maryland, North Carolina. Yeah. Hey, well, who didn't want to play in them type of atmosphere?
Exactly. 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 And I tell people all the time, I mean, see, I tell people all the time that I didn't grow up watching college basketball. So I didn't know the history of it. I learned that in high school when I went to the math. I got like a crash course on who the coaches were, kind of the history of college basketball, these teams, these universities. So, you know, because I started late too. I didn't start loving the game of basketball until like 10, 11. I was playing around 7, 8, but I wasn't good. I had no knowledge of them. I had two older brothers that played, and I had an uncle that was played pros, you know, All-American and all that stuff, but I still didn't have the education. I had to learn that as I went on. But like I said, when I was at the master, that's when I really got like that crash course on what college basketball was about and the history of it. So the ACC, I didn't really understand and comprehend it until like my later years in high school. And then obviously going to Maryland and you in that atmosphere. I remember I went to a couple of games that when they played at Cole Fieldhouse and they was playing Duke, like the Duke games and how packed the crowd was, the gym was, and the, oh my God, bro, super crazy, man, super packed. The atmosphere is dope. They on top of you, man. The crowd is like right there on top of you, man. And, you know, they had a nice mob back then too. You know, they had everybody on the team. You know, it was electric, man. It was just like if you a basketball player, man, this is the type of atmosphere you want, atmospheres you want to play in. And like you said, man, that the Maryland fans, it was just like, you know what I mean? So I definitely understand what it was. But what was it like for you when you finally, you know, got to really connect with Coach Williams, man? I'm talking about like your friend, you get on campus and you obviously got summer school, but now it's time to practice. Now you're on a team, you need to recruit. What was that like, man? And what was that experience like playing for Coach Williams?
Get
into
it. And honestly, everybody's like, man, how can you play with somebody so crazy? But one thing I love about Coach Williams, and, you know, obviously we had to talk the other day, but, man, he just wanted to get the best out of his players. And that's one thing I can say, and that's one thing I, you know, applaud him on. And obviously, you know, them practices, two-a-days, getting up 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, running. Man, it was an eye opener for me. And a lot of people don't know this. I was like, man, is this for me? Is it really? Because it's tough, you know, especially as a freshman, because you're from high school, not having as many responsibilities. And now you're talking about, you know, as a freshman, you're thrown in a fire. Obviously, man, we that's what we work hard for.
Right.
But you said you see the finished results when guys are just playing.
Right.
But leading up until, you know, July, August, September, and you got them, you know, you got them workouts, man. But the one, like I say, one determining factor for me was to, you know, get a full scholarship. Not have my parents worry where I'm in at nighttime and stuff like that. Obviously, and things can happen anywhere, but they know I'm fine there. But having them workouts and going through things with, you know, Grievous and Landon Milbourne and my guys, man, it was an experience within itself. You know, Grievous, man, wonderful guy. He's going to push you to the limit. And it's crazy thing about it, I played against Grievous my freshman year. At St. Francis, before KD went to Montrose. Played against him two times. And, you know, the first game I had maybe 25, 30.
Right.
And, you know, at Montrose. You know how tough that was playing that rubber court.
Yeah, they did that rubber court, man.
What is this? Y'all top 10 in the country. But, man, you know, that's when I was like, oh, man, I love Grievous, you know what I mean? Since that day, you know, Mayhem always had that bond. So going there with Grievous and, you know, Eric Hayes and, man, it's so many guys, connections, you know, and I played against Dano, Gregory, and Braxton Dupree when they were, you know, at Mount St. Joe and Calvert Hall. Yeah. So, like I say, having that connection with the guys made it easier because Grievous knew how hard I was going to work because he played against me. He knew I was a dog. Right, so just having that, not even that security, that way it's like, all right, cool. Because, you know, in college, minutes aren't guaranteed. You got to go out there and work for it. Especially playing with Coach Williams, he's not giving you a minute if you don't deserve it.
Right, exactly.
But I loved it, though, man. I loved it. Like, if I could do it for 4 years, I would, for sure.
Yeah. How was it playing with Grievous, man? I tell people, I played, obviously I didn't play in college with him, but we played, I think he came up to campus. He came up and played with us one time in open gym. I think you probably, I think y'all class was coming in that I came back to play with you guys. But I tell people, even before he got to the league, I said, man, dude going, he going to get in the league and he going to be there for a minute because, trust me, he is, because he a workaholic, you know what I mean? And his attitude, how he is, his character, people think he just be like acting. I said, no, this dude is this dude that's really him. Like that, man. Yes. He really, and I know the NBA scouts and the NBA team, they love them type of players, those dogs. You know what I mean? He, that's what he was. He was a dog, and he gonna let you know, like, you can't do nothing with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I used to tell people all the time, man, just the type of dude he was, and his character, man. And I knew he was gonna make it for a while. So what was it like, your experience playing with a man, and just that atmosphere in regards to him, he can get a talking in Spanish and doing his little rambling and all that, bro, and talking trash to everybody, man, while he's getting buckets on him.
Again, that's why I talk about his leadership was crazy. His work ethic was crazy. You know, I live with Greece my freshman year, and the dude just work. You know, we would get shots up at, you know, the end of practice. But the turning point of everything was his senior year. And I think, I'm like, you know, game day, you chilling, you go to free game, you come back, you relax, chilling in the locker room, do whatever.
Right.
Bro, this dude used to get, come back from free game, chill for like 5 minutes. I'm like, bro, what's this dude doing? Come back, full sweat, bro. Full sweat. He had already got shots up, going through his workout routine, everything. Come back, you know, take a shower, chill in the little cold tub, and get back to it. And it was like, man, this dude, like, it was different. He was the only one doing it. Then, you know, now you got other guys now starting to go out there and get some shots up instead of just, you know, chilling. But that's just what, it was in me, though. You know, everybody else is like, I was like, but that's a leader, though. He didn't have to ask somebody. He just showed. Right. You know, we're chilling. I was sitting out on the court. And I'm like, man, this dude's like full sweat. Full sweat. And that was his mentality his whole time. Like, again, come where he comes from, not going back there. So having him as a leader, man, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. He's not a selfish guy. He wouldn't if he had all the assists that he had. He's just the determined fact that he wanted to win. And that's the same thing going back to Coach Williams. And if you got that willing mentality like Coach Williams, yeah, we're going to be good.
Right.
But he was like my big bro in college, you know. And whenever I needed to talk about things, when I wasn't having the best games or going in my shooting slumps and stuff like that, man, we always just push each other. I used to tell Coach Williams, like, bro, don't put us on the same team in practice. I'm going to push him. He's going to push me. We're just going to get better as a group. And that's how it was. Like, we battled. I know he's the best player. I'm not going to hurt him, but I'm pushing him because these guys that we play against, you know, the Dukes, North Carolina, Florida State, Clemson, they double team. They hitting them every chance they get. They hit them for sure.
Right.
So that was, man, Gravis, I love Gravis to this day. You know, we still stay in contact and all that, man. But he's a wonderful person, man. His energy electrifies the whole building. Like you say, he's always the same person energy-wise. It's just Gravis. Right. People are like, man, Gravis, that's just Gravis. Now, if you don't do the things that you usually do, bro, I'd be like, oh, what's going on, G? You know what I mean?
Right.
Something's ain't right. What's going on? But he just always that persona, like, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and get this dub and, you know, chill. That's the same.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, hold on. So let's go. So you said y'all had two practices a day, man?
Man, we used to practice. Oh, my goodness. Well, we had the morning practices at like 5. Sometimes it was 3, bro. We had morning practice and we have, you know, workouts. You know, we couldn't do stuff as a team until later in the season. Bro, and then we come back and we got weights and we probably play pickup. It should be crazy. This is all in one day.
Yeah, man. I apologize. You know, we kind of forced those guys to keep you guys busy. Hey, bro. When I got there, man, we didn't have nothing. We practiced one time. Like, obviously, during the summertime, we had individual workouts, and then we played pickup in the evening. But like during the season, now we only practice one time. So no, I apologize.
We probably if it's an off day, we might get some shots up, and then probably practice a little more slightly though, because you're in tip top shape. You know what I mean?
Right,
if you're in tip top shape, wrong, you're at the wrong university. Playing. You was not playing if you was not in tip top shape at all.
Yeah, he had to keep us busy, man. So, you know, I think he going forward, he wanted, you know, to make sure his team was busy at all times. But like I said, man, you know, I enjoyed college to the fullest, for sure, man. So, what was some of your best moments and like some of those games, man, or experiences that y'all went through that you was like, man, I'll never forget that, or you tell people about it all the time, or when they ask about what was your experience like at Maryland, what was like that game or that play that you like, man, that was crazy.
Yeah, man, it had a lot. You know, 4 years, you have so many memories and so many things that still stick in your mind, especially when you go back and watch games. They like, man, I remember. But obviously, everybody know my sophomore year, we played Duke at home. And they were ranked the top 5. Crazy atmosphere. Senior night with Gravis, Landon, and Eric Hayes. Packed house. Packed. Bro, the best game of my life. And just having that, like I say, watching the Maryland Duke rival, it was crazy. So having that experience to beat them that year was amazing, man. It was like, it's like, how could you come off that high? You know, like, nobody, untouchable. You know, we lost no game at home that whole year. Like, we was cool. It was 32-9 ACC, I believe. 13-2, something like that. Nobody at home, nobody. Nobody came in and beat it. So, and obviously, that was my only time beating Duke. So that was like, it was at home, you know, rushed the court. It was cool. It was my first time experiencing stuff, something like that. So
right.
it, like just one of them pictures, one of the moments that you just capture and just always remember.
Right.
My senior year was the worst experience. I mean, my sophomore year at that same time, lost Michigan State at the buzzer beater, which was, you know, a heartbreaker for us because that was our year, national championship. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know you remember, man, you know, God rest his soul, man, when, you know, Cliff hit that game-winning shot, man. They still play it to this day. And just that his expression, I just seen how hype y'all was, bro. Like, that was, I mean, they still play that shot to this day, man. They play it all the time, man. It's one of those moments in Maryland history, man, in regards to that game-winning shot.
Yeah, rest in peace to my guy, Cliff Tucker, man. One of my brothers, a close teammate. I call him my brother. You know how it is when you play with guys, turn to brotherhood, turn to brothers. But man, that the whole sequence leading up to that, because my engravers hit a buzzer beater before that.
Right.
That wasn't at the game. Uh-huh. Gravis hits a half court buzzer beater, but they said somebody called a timeout. I don't know who called a timeout.
Right. But we talked
about everybody say Keith Booth. I'm like, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it was so crazy because we was talking about it for our 10-year anniversary on me, Gravis, Landon, Eric Hayes, and Dino. We was talking about it, and Coach Williams was trying to explain the rules. I'm like, what's the rules? I thought anybody can call the timeout. He's like, no, only person called the timeout is the head coach. He said, I didn't call the timeout.
Wow.
The referee heard somebody call the timeout. Gravis hits the joint that he hits the game win at halftime. I mean, from half court, they put time back on the clock, and then Cliff Tucker get an opportunity. And it was just so, it was so crazy because Coach was, when I say mad. We like, bro, you can't, come on, two times in one night, like you get a buzzer. And our case, I mean, obviously Cliff, we run the play, Cliff peeled off to the corner, left hand corner, you never forget, it's like muscle memory, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's fake to Gravis, hit Cliff in the corner, and it's all she wrote. And it was so significant because that was the first buzzer beater inside of Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like one of them things that, you know, that guy, he's special. I knew Cliff could shoot the ball with the best of them.
Right.
He was, I mean, a hell of a player. But that moment, it sits there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just because who Cliff was and how he carried himself on and off the court. So, yeah, that's a moment, though, for sure. I'll have it in my mind, but for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Definitely. Hey, but before we move on to talk about some more Maryland basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus to cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So now you finish your college career. Now it's time to play pro basketball. What was that transition like? What was that process like for you? Now you're leaving, you know, some of your best years at college, in college basketball. Now it's time to basically reap what you sowed in the sense of putting that work in. Now you better go play for some money. You know what I mean? So what was that process like for you?
It was easy. Hey, a lot of people say it's hard. I mean, obviously, you know, travel. I mean, obviously, you know, since, you know, you played in the metropolitan area up there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you traveled a lot playing AU, so it was different mindset, obviously, but the same goal.
Right.
How can I get better? How can I get better, or how can I expand my game to make more money? Now we're not talking about, you know, trying to get there. We already there now,
right?
But, you know, because a lot of people say, "Oh, how can you do it? You've been away from your family so long." Yeah, I mean, When I was going to Maryland, I never came home, really. I stayed in College Park all day, every day. For what?
Same me, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it was tough because my mom, she never flew, really. She never flew at all. Right. I mean, if she was here today, she still wouldn't fly. You know what I mean?
My dad
visited my first year for 3 weeks, and that was just probably the best feeling, you know, having somebody other than your teammates around. But you know, having that opportunity, man, it was definitely different. I went to Poland my first year over there.
Back cold spot.
Cold, bro. Cold. When I say cold, I was like, man, I love the cold. I don't like that.
Right.
I like,
they have to drive in.
They would have to, you know, travel. It was different. Poland was only probably like, I want to say the worst place for me. Mm-hmm. But bro, we had bus rides. Oh man, bus rides, it was different. Right. I was like, bro, it's not for me, man. It's not. But at the end of the day, it's something I love to do, something we all love to do. I mean, obviously, you and I. But having that experience and getting to not only meet new people, but obviously learn different cultures, about different cultures and the way they eat, the different things they eat. Right. That was my thing, and still having them connections to, you know, to this day, like I say, basketball is brotherhood. So you still have these connects with guys that you play with overseas and guys that live there. But having that experience, man, was unbelievable. You know, I wish I could have, I could have played longer. My mom just got sick. So I was just like, you know, you only get one mom, and having that opportunity to just be there for 6 years was amazing.
Right. No, absolutely, man. I tell people all the time, I have conversations with folks. You know, when I was at college, I didn't think nothing about overseas basketball. Honestly, every time people mention, and I'm being honest, when people used to mention it to me, I used to get offended. Like, so you're saying I can't play here? Like, I can't play in these states? Like, so that's how I took it like that. Whereas when I went over there and I actually experienced it firsthand, man, I was like, man, I don't want to go back. Because, like you said, learning that, like, such a good spot. There are some places I'm like, man, I need to get up out of here. But, you know, I played in places, like you said, man, I played in places where it was like, they just paying good money. So it is what it is. But, you know, just that, you said that experience, man, the brotherhood, different cultures, the lifestyle, everything. And just like you said, you get to visit other countries, bro, just off of playing basketball. You know what I mean? Like, that's just because you play basketball, you get to visit the world, like travel the world for a living, and they pay you to do it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I say, that determination factor, coming where I come from, I'd rather be over there than be here. You know, that's just fact.
Right.
And doing something that you love doing and getting paid for it, having, you know, I mean, trust me, over there, you be practicing twice a day.
Right.
Heavy. And it's tough. 8 to 10 months, like 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously now with the recovery phase and stuff like that, now it's different. But my first year over there, it was like, bro, we got ice bath, that was it. And that was hard to get that time. So recovery factor was like, man, it was this beat on your body. You know, it's over there, they hit you. You get hit by screens, you getting hit going to the basket. So it'd be times, man, when I played in Germany, man, oh my goodness. BBL,
good. Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm playing against Bayern Munich. I'm playing against Albert Berlin, all these guys, man. I'm like, bro, these dudes are screaming. You ain't going to switch. Switch and switch again. You gotta have to do something. But, bro, I'm trying to tell you, we played Team Germany. I felt like I was in a boxing football match, bro. I'm coach, I'm just gonna take them all. I ain't even coming in the stretch. I ain't doing nothing. I'm chilling. I was playing like 35 plus minutes. I'm cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are like, man, I did well overseas scoring wise and everything. Right. You know, I had the opportunity to win a championship in France. So it was amazing for me. But man, I miss it for sure. If I can go back and play two more years, I would.
Right. And I was telling people, when I tell people this story, I was in Ukraine and we were playing against a big EuroLeague team, man. And we're down players. Just got a new coach. He's a Serbian dude. Just got him. This is like his first game he's coaching us. We just brought in we let some big guys go. Brought in another young guy who played at Connecticut, but he was a slim dude, more of a a four-side slim, and I wasn't that big at the time. I lost a lot of weight. So it was just really just me, and they got me playing. I was playing the four, but then now they got me playing the five. Mm. This team got 6'10", 6'11", 265, 270. They got another 6'10", 270. They got a 6'11", 7 foot, 270. Who's guarding these dudes? And right. Mind you, I'm starting and I'm playing a lot of minutes. So they just taking turns, bro. I'm talking about inner guards, like one come out, one go in, like they just switching. But I'm holding my own though. Like that's probably like I had one of my best games against those dudes. But like you said, man, these are country boys. Like, you know, and then I end up playing against the kid. I think he's with Boston for a while. Big Australian dude, man. I end up playing against him in Greece. I think he's with the Spurs now in Greece. And
I think he's
so dude, man, set a good old screen on me, boy. I had to look at him like. Come on, man. I understand, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But, yeah, man, so like you said, man, some of them countries, man, you going to go up against them real European solid. And I ain't no, like I said, I wasn't no sin. I was more like a 2-3-4 over there. 2-3-4, yeah, over there, man. But, yes, I definitely, those experience, man, those Eastern European countries, you going, yeah, and then, like you said, those crazy two-a-day practices. I tell you all the time, I say, man, after I got older, I said, look, I tell my agent, I said, look, man, I'm only going to South America or Asia or the Middle East. I'm not doing, because it takes, like you said, it takes years off your body.
Yeah,
we
man.
Just, like I said, the game we just played, if it gets those that EuroLeague team, man, we drove or took a train. We took like an old school train that was like 10 hours long, but we get back to our facility, our coach getting off the bus. Usually if he just walk off the bus, I mean, we ain't got practice the next day. Man, he's walking off about to get off the bus. He turn around and say, yeah, so we're going to take the morning off and come back in the evening. You're yep. like, huh? True. Like, are you serious? And then we start practice all. We doing defensive slides, the whole full length of the court, cut through half court. I'm looking at him. I'm in my feelings. And I'm looking at him like, and we going like, he'll practice like 2.5 hours, twice a day. So I'm looking at him like, are you serious with that? You ain't play all these minutes, but I get no recovery time. You know what I mean? So it was times like that, man, when you like, yo, I need to, this ain't gonna work for me.
Her being coached crazy, bro.
Uh-huh.
You're not getting Christmas off. None of that. Get a break. I got to go back home for at least a few, man.
Right.
We had a derby game. You know how that is, a rival game. Mm-hmm. And we wound up beating the team but not too far from our city. I'm like, coach, I just got to go. Like, for a few. So he let me go and the other Americans and the other guys that were from there. They practiced while he was gone. I know they was hurt, bro. I'm like, yeah. But I get it though, because I played in Dubai for a few. Mm-hmm. And we probably swung, you know, because they got a job, they got jobs. They only got one import coming in.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, bro, this is boring. I mean, when you get that, you're like, it's a 9-hour time difference. What can you do now?
Exactly. I'm
gonna go to the gym, get some shots up myself, you know, practice with them at nighttime and the same thing over again. I'm like, bro, this is different. You know, going from Europe to the Middle East is different.
Exactly. Way different, but man.
Like definitely good for your body.
Yeah, no, it's great for my body. Man, I played in Bahrain. I was like, man, this is our practices. Man. And we were practicing in the evening time, like around 7 o'clock at night. So we had, like, then we were practicing again to the following 7. So it's like, you got all this time and the practice only in about hour and 20. And we doing up getting shots up, little drills. I might play 5-on-5, but I'm the only American on the team. So it was like easy money. So I was like, I had to force myself to get up in the morning to work out on my own. They don't ask for you to do that. Like you say, those other guys got jobs. But I was cool with that because I'm towards the end of my career. I know that. Now I'm just trying to enjoy life and get money. You know, that was my mindset. Enjoy life on and off the court. That's why I used to tell my agent, like, look, you got to take me to a place I can enjoy life on and off the court and still make some money, man. So I definitely... I miss it too. I miss more so the traveling part and the grind of preparing for the overseas work. You know, I don't, my body don't miss the playing part, but just the preparation and the traveling and meeting different people in different cultures, I do miss that though.
Yeah, man, that was your life. I mean, that was out, I mean, mine for 6 years. I mean, outside college and high school and AAU, but just having that that opportunity of just, you know, like you say, meeting people, traveling the world where a lot of people would never go. It was a key factor for me. I was like, man, I miss it. You know, the moment that I stayed home and, you know, stopped playing ball, I'm like, man, I got to go somewhere. I got to do something. I got to at least get on the plane and go, because this was like, it was different for me. But, you know, we made the best of it for sure.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question, because now you obviously know what's going on at Maryland right now, but we didn't even talk about this, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on this. During your time there, you played for Coach Williams for 3, and then that's when he ended up stepping down and Coach Turner came in. What was that like? Because I never experienced in college or high school in regards to you come in for one coach, but then you end up getting, especially your senior year, you end up getting another coach, you know? So what was it like for you in regards to that transition and the differences between the coaches? You know, I mean, I kind of know the differences, but like, for you in regards to that, what was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was a nightmare, you know, because, you know, you go from playing with a Hall of Fame coach that recruited you, and you knew what to expect. You know what you're going to do every day. He's not going to be no different. He's going to be just the fire person that he is and the winner that he is. And obviously, I knew sooner or later, I thought he would do it after I leave.
Yeah.
But I just had this, I didn't even know. Like, I didn't even know what to expect. I literally just dipped. I left and went to Florida on vacation, cut my phone off for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And because I was like, man, I just don't want to talk to nobody. And I was thinking about transferring, you know, on vacation. Like, it's time. Right. Maybe it's time for me to go elsewhere. But
right.
I love Maryland. So that was my reason of staying. Just there. Coach Williams, obviously, and I, we stayed in contact, you know, my senior year or whatever. But it's definitely, it's night and day, you know, as coach, you know, when you think about Coach Turgeon, Coach Williams. Yeah. Coach Turgeon is a great guy. But it's just the firepower that I was used to. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you play with Coach Williams, so you know what you're going to expect.
Right.
And just have Coach Turgeon more so, not lax days, but like more so laid back until he wanted to be that guy that wanted to have that spark. Right. It was different. My senior year was different, man. It probably was the worst year of my whole 4 years at Bro.
Right.
But, and just, you know, trying to, and I tore two ligaments in my ankle my senior year. So I was playing at 65-70%. Right. I was on a red shirt. I was like, now it's time to go get some money. You know how it is. Right. You know, you're ready to get
out of there. Of course.
Man, it was definitely different. It was different for me. And I was, you know, everybody asked the question, like, the difference between Coach Church and Coach Williams.
Yeah.
They both are winners they both winners, but Coach Williams is a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. That's just different. Separate them. Not to, you know, go in so many words, but he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's a fact.
Right, yeah. So what do you think about the state of Maryland right now in regards to the coaching position, and what do Maryland need? What kind of coach do they need there that can get things back, kind of like the please
on an elite level?
Everybody, to get to where it needs to go, you know, that people are anxious for and what they want. What kind of coach you can see coming in and that help out, or what, the energy wise, or personality, or even an individual?
Yeah. I honestly, you know, like, I watched a few Maryland games since the coaching change had happened. And obviously, you see the guys, they feel comfortable with Danny Manning up there coaching them. But Maryland always had an identity. And
right.
You look at it, what identity do they have right now? That's what we have to get back to. I think we had our Damon coach where you know we was gonna go diamond press every time. You know we were gonna go flex offense. You know we was gonna get scrappy. You know we was gonna do this. What identity they have right now, and that's the thing I'm trying to piece together and look for. Obviously, watched them the other day, and they had it. But what identity they have, like right now, you know, every team has an identity. When you look at all these elite programs and stuff like that, and Maryland can be elite. But what coach do they need right now? Or what do they need? They need a guy to come in and just win. I mean, that's what Maryland wants. Obviously, having that, like I said, going from a Hall of Famer coach to Coach Churchnet, have, you know, been to a Sweet 16 or when he had DeAndre Jordan and Texas A&M, maybe National Championship or Final Four, whatever it was. I don't know right offhand, but having that change, it changes and shakes up Maryland in general. It's going to be a while until we find – I mean, hopefully it's not going to be a while, but – Right. It's like a team winning Super Bowl. You know, they got to get rid of a lot of guys. You're bringing new guys in. It takes a minute for things to unfold the right way. But, I mean, Turgeon was there for 10 years, 11 years.
Yeah. Right.
So it's now time to find that glue guy that can get the players and get – I mean, recruiting classes hasn't been bad.
Right.
It's just getting guys to buy into what system you want. And obviously having the players buy into you as a coach and having that belief that, yeah, whatever coach say or this coach, yeah, now I can go out there and just play my game. Right. Obviously, I mean, they play freely, though. I mean, I wish it was like that when I was playing. I get the fucking shit, you
know? Oh, man, we needed some sense. We needed some plays.
Hey, can you imagine that, TJ? Like, for real, though, bro. Like, what? Open the court up. Oh, man.
Actually, that's how we won the ACC championship, man. 4-on-1 The coaches, like, let us go and just cycle up. And that's what we did. Whoever had the hot hand, whoever was on fire, keep giving them a ball, keep feeding them. Yeah. So, yeah. We like that. We did like that.
Don't get me wrong. I love the flex. We scored a lot of points. We won a lot of games. But we opened that thing up and just run. Oh, my goodness. But, no, that's the thing, man. Just getting back to that elite program. It's going to be something. It got to be somebody special.
Right.
I was joking with Coach. I was like, Coach, you going back and coach? I said, you go back and coach. I could be assistant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I talked to Coach about it too. Yeah. Hey, speaking of coaching, man, I know you have your organization, man. You got your foundation, man. I definitely want you to talk on that before I let you go in regards to what you got going on, the name of your foundation. And, you know, obviously how people can get in touch and be involved with what you got going on.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, right before, you know, smack into pandemic, it was like an opportunity for me to just kind of figure out what I want to do for Sean Mosley. So I started this my nonprofit organization called Mosley Basketball. This is my shirt here, Mosley Basketball. So I kind of want to bring back that kind of like Powell Recreation Center type feel and giving kids an outlet here in Baltimore, the youth anyway, just to get them off the streets and give them an opportunity to excel at whatever they want to do. It don't have to be basketball. It don't have to be sports related. It don't have to be any. You can whatever you want. So right now we're trying to get a building to fulfill what we really, really want to do. And that's having classrooms, obviously basketball court inside. We're going to give them free tutoring. We're going to give them scholarships to earn scholarships to do whatever they want to do with this money, long as educational wise. And obviously, I mean, it's tough because you have so many, you know, bad influence out here. It's different. But I started off, I did my first event last summer. And I started with 35 kids, and I had my other event January 8th or something like that at St. Francis at my high school. And we had, I mean, obviously it's a pandemic, but I had 85 kids signed up within a week and a half. Wow. So I would still have maybe 65, 70 kids. So it's growing and it's getting out there, and it's just awareness. And obviously we're going to talk about eating healthy, mental awareness, because these are the things that this is the thing I think that we needed even when we were coming up playing basketball, because some things that we didn't know about, and some things some kids don't open up to certain people, but you know, me training kids individually, I get to know kids better now. And I understand that they don't tell their parents everything. So having the opportunity to be that, like, again, being that leader and being the youth kind of scapegoat to, you know, just, Coach Sean, you know, I got this going on. What should I do? X, Y, Z. It's tough because, you know, you got a lot of younger parents out here in the world now. So they don't know how to, I guess, react to certain situations. So getting a grasp of them early in life, it will benefit them. Obviously, we had the opportunity to get a full scholarship because we were good at basketball, and obviously the grades was decent enough or good enough to pursue that as well. Some kids never left Baltimore. Some kids never left D.C. Some kids never left Virginia. So giving them opportunity to travel to different universities on field trips so they can get a perspective of their own is key. And so that's my thing right now that I'm doing. And I have my website at mosleybasketball.com. That gives you the breakdown of everything we do. Obviously, donations is definitely much needed because we're trying to do something huge here in Baltimore. I do have Instagram. My Instagram is S Mosley. I believe underscore 14. If not, you can just type in Sean Mosley and you'll be able to see just my profile picture with my Maryland jersey on. But other than that, man, just trying to just stay COVID free and, you know, just giving back every day if I can. Obviously, basketball season right now, so it's tough to get a lot of kids active. But on the weekends, we definitely get active for sure. So that's what I got going on here in Baltimore. Hopefully, you know, I'll have my building soon, though, for sure. We're going to speak things into existence. If not, we'll never get things done, so.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, look here, man. What you're doing is great. I definitely believe in it, you know, doing some work myself with my foundation, especially with the mental health and, you know, life skills. And what you're doing, like I said, is needed. These kids, especially being as though, I tell people all the time that those individuals that had that experience that played at the elite level or that played period or just have experience period, we are obligated to go back and help the younger generation or the younger folks to help them along their way because we've been there, done that. So us holding on to the things we experience for ourselves is like selfish. That's what I tell people because we can help them have a better life or not have the same pitfalls as we did if we just can help them out. So what you're doing, man, I definitely commend that. It's definitely needed. And I know they definitely listen to everything that you say because, I mean, you've been there, done that. So, you know, you're an experienced player, man, a great player. So, you know, did it all, man. So, like I said, man, I appreciate you. And I know all these other parents and kids out here do too, man. So definitely keep doing your thing. And thanks for, you know, joining the Go Terps with Travis Garrison. And I appreciate your time, bro. We definitely going to connect for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, bro. You already know it's nothing but love here, man. Like I say, once a Maryland fan, once a Maryland guy, always. So, you know, anything, make anything possible, man. Keep doing your thing, though, bro, and definitely reach out and try to do some stuff together maybe this summer for sure.
Yes, sir, bro. You take it easy, man.
All right, you too, man. Appreciate you guys.